Hello, High Altitude Adventures Podcast, Season 2, Episode 2, Wind Tunnels. Today we talk about them, and our guest today is Aoife Henschel. Hi, Aoife.
Hi, Mikhail.
First, let's talk about you. What are you? Where are we? Which country is this? What do you do in your normal life? Are you a skydiver by any chance? I heard somewhere. When did you start doing this? Have you heard about wind tunnels? But most importantly, just some words about you so that listeners know who I'm talking to.
I won't bore you with too many details, but I am Irish. I've lived in Ireland my whole life. I do skydive, which you know well yourself, Mikhail, because we have skydived together many's a time. And that's how I would have gotten into wind tunnel. It's a way to practice wind tunneling, skydiving, in a safer environment, I would say, and for a more prolonged period of time. I am a mother of two children, which means I skydive less these days. Unfortunately, I miss it a lot at the moment. And for a living, which you have to have a job to pay for all that skydiving, I am a UX designer, user experience designer. So it relates to the field of graphic design, which people might be more familiar with. But I design digital products mostly. So how does a person use an app and design for that?
So you're a normal person in a normal life.
Absolutely. I do a 9-to-5 job and earn a wage every month and I have children and I think I'm quite normal anyway. it's all a matter of opinion.
But on the skydiving side, before we go to the wind tunnels, skydiving. Let's assume people have no idea what skydiving. We always need to remind them what it is. And remember, it's an audio podcast, so, well, they don't see us. So we have to somehow explain. What is a skydiving again? Remind me.
Yeah, so I think, like, the important differentiation between what people normally associate with skydiving, which is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity tandem skydiving, and the type that we do, which is a sport that we, you know, do repeatedly so that we can get better at it, a sport with multiple different disciplines, and you choose to go into one or many, depending on whether you want to specialise. And your aim every time you go up is to, number one, have a good time with your friends. You know, people generally don't skydive alone. It's much more fun with other people. And try and get better at it. Whether that's doing formation skydiving with other people, whether it's doing free fly, depending on what discipline you want to get into.
So you're a competitive skydiver.
Absolutely.
You competed, you will compete in the future.
Yeah. It's like anything.
You're an athlete.
That might be a stretch, but yes, to a degree. It's certainly a sport that the aim of the game is to get better at it and to do a good job when you're up there and to enjoy in doing a good job with the other people that you're skydiving.
And contrary to the popular belief, it's not scary, abnormal and crazy. It's fun.
It's a little bit scary, but that's all part of the reason that you do it. You have to be somebody who likes that little bit of fear in your belly and overcoming it, you know.
Okay, then I'll rephrase it. It's not crazily extremely dangerous and unsafe.
Absolutely not. No.
If you do it right, we all agree, if you do it right, it's a safe sport.
Absolutely, absolutely. You are the master of your own destiny. And along with having to comply with a lot of rules that make it safe, you are responsible for your own safety. So you have to do all your checks on your rig. You have to make sure that when you're in the air, you're doing everything that you've been taught to do to make it not only safe for yourself, but safe for other people as well.
Now, tunnels. Let's explain to good people on this podcast what's a wind tunnel.
Yes.
They have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah. They need to visualize it now once we describe it to them. What are we talking about? Wind tunnels. Is it where they test airplanes and cars?
No. I mean, absolutely. I think that is something that Formula One teams use it to test aerodynamics of their cars, etc., etc. But that'd be a very different wind tunnel to the type that we use. Our wind tunnels are vertical. We also refer to it as indoor skydiving because you will find that the majority of people that wind tunnel, I think it's safe to say, are skydivers.
Physical description. First, let's start
okay.
So people can visualize. What
so
is
you're
it?
Talking
is it triangular,
about a big
elliptical?
Round tube that goes very high up into the air. They come in various diameters. Yes. Some of them are small. They might only fit two people. Some of them are now massive.
And then what's inside?
Very, very strong wind machines, turbines that blow wind very strongly up vertically in the air so that when you go into the wind tunnel, you float on top of that very strong current of wind that's keeping you afloat, basically.
Which is kind of similar in a way to your free fall. That's what we're trying to
exactly.
imitate.
It's almost like free fall in reverse. Instead of falling down, the wind is keeping you up.
Mm-hmm.
But the sensation is certainly very similar to when you jump out of an airplane. There are differences, you know. In a wind tunnel, I feel like you're fighting against the air a little bit more, and it's about getting control of that. Whereas when you jump out of an airplane, you're trying to control that sensation of falling that you don't have really in a wind tunnel, you mm-hmm. know.
And also in the wind tunnel, you always have walls. And you have kind
Absolutely.
Of floor and ceiling somewhere up.
Exactly.
So that's another difference.
Absolutely. And it teaches you to be more in control in a wind tunnel. Because in the sky, you can fly in any direction and you won't have walls stopping you. But the aim in skydiving is to be controlled and to stay in the same place. And, you know, do kind of micro movements if you're formation diving, for example. So a wind tunnel certainly helps with that because you have to stay in a very confined space and be controlled in that confined space. So most wind tunnels are just for people who want to go in a normal onesie, let's call it,
mm-hmm.
and use their arms and legs to move around.
Are they everywhere? Are they in every country?
Sorry,
many,
countries,
or?
Yeah. So good few in the UK. In Europe, Spain is a big country, has a good few. Been to one in Madrid before. Poland, I know, has a few. Switzerland, they're in, I would say, most or a lot of countries. Certainly.
US? In US?
A lot in the US. Yeah, they're Europe. In most developed
most
nations
countries.
With people who can afford to use them. Maybe not in the smaller countries like Ireland or maybe Liechtenstein.
So, wind tunnel, you mentioned that there are for people who want to do it once, and also they're used for skydivers for their training.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Remind us, what about you? When did you start skydiving? How did this happen to you?
I started skydiving when I was 21 years old, and I know that because my memory is failing me now at this age because I
so got
a
year ago,
birthday
then.
Present. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And add a decade or two. coming up on 2 decades, imagine that. And yeah, 21, I did a tandem, and as soon as I got down from doing that tandem, I was like, I am doing this again as soon as I possibly can. I knew I'd found my thing. And I did my AFF, Accelerated Freefall course, passed all my jumps, and just was in love with it from
And what's your discipline? Start. In which discipline do you compete,
yeah.
train?
So
what is it called?
I have been part of a 4-way team, so that means 4 of us jump out together and we do various different formations.
And what is this discipline? What do you do there?
This is formation skydiving. You basically
four-way
formation skydiving is where you have to form points in the air, so different formations. I won't go through the details, but there's about 40 or 50 different formations, and you have to do one formation after another. And do it as quickly as you can and as cleanly as you can. You have to build formations, and the faster you can do that, you get points based on how fast you are. And you compete against other teams who are also getting points, and the one with the most points at the end of the competition wins.
And this discipline have similar rules for the air, the version in the air when you jump with the parachute, and the version in the tunnel. So you can compete and you can train for this discipline either way.
Exactly. That's really where the crossover is. Is in that 4 people going into a tunnel is the same as 4 people jumping out of an airplane and trying to make those formations as quickly as they can. And that's really, you know, what we as a team used to go into the tunnel for, was to practice those formations so that we could compete in competitions in the tunnel. You know, solely on its own. So you didn't even have to skydive. I mean, there was children who, young teenagers and even younger, who used to compete in those competitions because you wouldn't have to jump out of an airplane and God, they were good, much better than us. But you do that exact same thing then when you jump out of an airplane, you try and make the same formations and do it in, you know, the same manner as quickly and as cleanly as possible.
So again, in the tunnel, it feels very similar to the free fall in
Absolutely.
A skydive.
Absolutely.
The difference would be, as we said, walls, floor and ceiling, and also you don't wear a big backpack.
Your rig is the biggest difference, mm-hmm. exactly. You're getting up there. And it's easier in the tunnel, I would say. Number one, because you practice more in the tunnel. You know, every time you jump out of an airplane, it takes a long time to get up there. When you jump out, you've only got like a maximum of 60 seconds of free fall versus in the tunnel, you can stay in for a lot longer. And when you're up in the sky, without those walls around you, you tend to float off a lot more. So you certainly will score more points generally in the tunnel than you will in the sky.
So you trained, you competed several events in the air and in the sky. Tunnel helps a lot because it resembles the actual free fall in the air a lot. And also there are certain competitions in the tunnel themselves. So these are pros, these are athletes, these are competitive skydivers. Now let's go back to the normal people. Someone wants to go to a wind tunnel and experience the free fall, something which is really close to a skydive, but without that fear or danger, perceived danger, you'll be on the ground. So how would you describe a normal visit for a normal person who wants to do it once? I assume they find out where the nearest tunnel is, UK, Europe, or maybe they go on a vacation and suddenly they find out the tunnel is next there somewhere. So they book, and then what happens then?
So that you pay your money to the nice man, and the nice man puts you in a onesie, and he'll take you in. So because it is quite dangerous, you've got, you know, hard walls.
Dangerous until you know how to deal with that.
Well, dangerous enough that you need somebody in with you initially. Mm-hmm. So you will have a tunnel instructor, as they're called, who will come in with you and hold on to you. As you get better, they'll let you go. But it's like getting that feeling of flying for the first time for somebody who hasn't done it. You know?
So you book, you pay, they introduce, an instructor meets you, they give you the jumpsuit, the helmet, a goggle. So they have all the gear there. You don't need to bring anything else.
Absolutely.
Just show up yourself. Normal clothing.
Follow instructions. That's important. If you don't do what the nice man tells you to do, they tell you everything you need to know. They will, I'm pretty sure they bring you to a place first. They put you on what's called a creeper, which is
just a little table
with wheels on it that moves around, and you lie flat on it on your belly, because that's the position that you will need to have. That's the most aerodynamic position that you can have in the air, is on your belly, arching your hips forward with your arms as back as far as you can go, and making a V with your body.
How long will this last, this brief introduction or long introduction?
I would say that they probably spend 10 minutes maybe or so with you. Once you get into the tunnel, you probably have about like 90 seconds. And then they'll bring you out because you need a break, and you're using muscle groups you've never used before. So you will be sore,
afterwards.
Yeah, big time.
And don't plan to fly a lot, right? Like if it's first time
flyer,
maybe, 2 minutes, would say? 4 minutes,
I'd
10 minutes?
I'd say bring you in for about 2 minutes and then maybe take you out for a bit of a rest and then bring you back in. But the one thing I've seen, which I haven't experienced, but for people who are coming in and doing that, in certain tunnels they have it. It looks very cool, is they can put a VR headset on you, and then in that headset you'll have the vision of somebody who is skydiving out of an airplane, so you get that extra level of it feeling like an actual skydive, and because that's all that you can see, and you have your instructor holding.
Because the feeling will be exactly the same as in the air.
Very, very similar.
Physical feeling, and then visually, you can also add the visual perception.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say exactly the same, but it's very similar. I mean, you get the feeling of flying, and that is something that's very cool that not many people can say that they've had. You know,
now, will it be all like joy, happy days, or people should be aware of something?
I mean,
noisy. Will it be noisy?
Oh, it's extremely noisy in wind tunnels. That's to be sure.
So you cannot talk to each other, right?
Oh God, no, not while you're in there. And it's even advised that you wear little earplugs to protect your ears.
Now, children, do you think, well, like,
yeah,
not
like
the babies, but
seven,
five
from
to
seven,
seven
on. I've definitely seen very small children in there. And as soon as my 4-year-old is old enough, which hopefully is, yeah, a year or two time, I'll be bringing them in for a little experience of what it's like to actually fly. But yeah, young children.
On the other side, a senior, how old a person can be, any limitations you're aware of?
I'm not sure there's an age limit. I know with skydiving, if you're a particular age, you might have to have a doctor's note to say your heart is okay. But I think in a wind tunnel, you're perfectly good at any age.
The only thing I heard sometimes, they want to know if you have shoulder issues.
That would make sense. They may. You need a level of flexibility to be aerodynamic enough in the tunnel that you're not going to fly off and up somewhere on the instructor. you need to be able to arch, basically.
So to be stable, yeah.
To be stable, yeah. And that requires a certain level of flexibility, not much, but an element of it.
Is it fun?
So much fun. I mean, there's a reason that us skydivers spend every penny that we make on the sport, whether it's in a wind tunnel or jumping out of an airplane. It's an addictive feeling, I would say.
What makes it addictive?
It addictive? It is that feeling of flying and that, like, you know, it's so unnatural for a person to be able to do that.
And it's a real flying, right?
It's
like three-dimensional. You can go up and down, and that's what you can learn in the tunnel.
Absolutely, and some of the formations that you have to do, you have to go up, fly over another person, and fly down. So it's all, like you said, three-dimensional, up, down, left, right, back, forward. And there's nothing quite like it. If you have any kind of notion that, you know, flight is something that you would enjoy, then give it a go.
What about your team, your training experience?
Skydiving is about the fun of the jump and the feeling of flight and the feeling of freedom you get from jumping from an airplane, as is wind tunneling. I know I keep bringing it back to skydiving, but they're so interrelated.
They really
are. But it's also about the camaraderie. It's about, like, the good times that you share with the other people who are on your team, and getting to be part of this 4-way female team has been one of the best experiences of my life. I've made 3 of the best friends that I have now. And we've all been on a certain level, the same kind of level, the same wavelength, you know. So just getting to do that with those girls and being able to laugh it off and being able to celebrate together when we have a particularly good jump or we have a particularly good, you know, minute and a half in the wind tunnel. That's what makes it particularly special, and that's what you keep coming back for, you know.
In your trips, how long would be your trip for the sporty training, for the athletic training in the wind tunnel? You go as a team for what, a couple of days?
Yeah, a couple of days generally. You know, it's usually a weekend because, like I said, we're all norms that have to work a 9-to-5 job to pay for this and everything else in life. So you might go over on a Friday evening and come back on a Sunday and spend 2 days. That's all, like, a whip for somebody who's doing it again and again, not somebody who just goes in and maybe does 5 minutes of it, that's okay, but it gets very tiring. You don't realize how tough it actually is until you're doing it for a whole weekend and you are spent by the end. You might only be in the wind tunnel for an hour in different, you know, minute and a half segments, kind of in and out. For an hour per day, or and that's, you know, not an hour continuously, because there's no way you could do that, because it is actually quite tough on the body and all those muscle groups that you don't normally use. A weekend is all you'd nearly be able to do before you need to take a break.
How expensive is it for a team? Let's talk about
it's
team.
Pricey. I think recently, like, prices have changed, and now I'm sure with fuel crisis it's gone up, but about €500 per hour.
But for people who want to do it once, they don't need to do an hour, right? You mentioned several minutes.
Five minutes, maybe a little more, to get a general feel
of it.
Exactly.
But for a team, go back to your team, you train in the tunnel, let's say 1 hour per day, maybe for several days when you travel out. So this adds up, it becomes expensive. And any sport team need to fund themselves or find sponsors for funding for that. Shameless plug.
Yeah.
So if anyone is interested to support any team,
absolutely,
especially an all-female skydiving team, they may do that easily.
Oh my God, yes, please come with open pockets.
And for the normal people, one time, who want to try it just once, again, when we say 500 euro per hour, it's slightly more expensive when you do it just for 5-10 minutes because the pricing is slightly different.
Absolutely.
And I think that the latest I saw is about 10 euros, 10 pounds, 15 pounds per minute.
Yeah.
And if you want to do it for 5-10 minutes, so that will be your number, 100, 150.
Exactly.
For some basic generic initial experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's all you'd want to do for the first, you know. I don't think it'd make sense to just go in and do it for an hour if all you want to do is get the experience or the feeling of flight. And obviously as you buy more, you get discounts based on bulk buying.
And if you want to get more, it's absolutely fine for you to book again and try and learn and maybe form a team. You don't need to be a skydiver to form a team and compete.
Like that, you know, we've competed at the likes of the World Indoor Skydiving Championships. And you will see teams that are children, that are maybe 7 to 12 years old.
And sometimes they beat adults flat out because they fly so well. Often, they're very bendy.
I would say the majority of the time they do. They are so much better. They're so natural at it. They don't overthink it. They're, like you say, flexible and put the rest of us to absolute shame by coming top of that leaderboard while the rest of us are sitting at the bottom.
So as a sport, it's age and gender neutral.
Absolutely.
100%. It's still physical because it develops you. You have to be physically fit, bendy. And it's open for anyone. So definitely anyone can try it in a wind tunnel.
100%.
And anyone can compete.
Absolutely.
If they want to go further. It's not an Olympic sport, though. We had this discussion before at the previous episode. So do you think it might become one? Your personal opinion.
Honestly, I would say unlikely. Not in the near future. Okay. No. Even though especially we haven't talked about free flying in the wind tunnel, which is like one of the best spectator sports that you're going to get.
What's the difference?
Okay, so belly flying, as we discussed, is the easier version of still difficult when you're getting into having to be very accurate and, you know, formations and being in sync with three other people if you're doing four-way or seven if you're doing eight-way. But free fly is the next level of difficulty where your orientation changes. You could be in what we call a sit position. You could be in a stand position. You could be head down.
Basically in any orientation position.
You learn
how to fly anyway, pointing anywhere,
and
be stable.
And be stable and be totally in control and move from one of those positions to another in a very confined space. You know, you're talking about a much smaller group of people that can do that kind of indoor wind tunneling, skydiving or outdoor. But that is something else to watch because if you haven't seen it, go and Google free fly wind tunnel. I'm sure there are names that I don't know right now.
But yeah, I think free fly, freestyle. They're slightly different disciplines, but free fly, freestyle. Some of those are with music.
With music, exactly.
And they look really, really, really nice.
They're superb, yeah. Where it's choreographed to music and it's not just a normal dance because, as you said before, you're now operating in a 3D environment where not only are you going across and back and forwards, you're also going up and down and being able to twirl around and somersault and do all kinds of fairly magical things in the air. And when you do that to music, there's nothing like it. I saw somebody do it actually on an episode of America's Got Talent or one of those programs, and they definitely got a pass to the next round. I don't know how far they went, but that maybe has potential to become a Olympic sport. But I think it's just there's a lot of barriers having to get a wind tunnel in a certain place, and it's an expensive sport. It's not, you know, hop on your bike or Yeah, if I had to put my money on it, I wouldn't be putting it on it becoming an Olympic sport in the next decade or two.
But it's still a sport in its own niche. There are federations, skydiving and wind tunneling association. Yeah. There are competitions, as you said, world championships, world cups, annual, biannually.
People who, you know, not very many, but there are some people who make their living out of being professional skydivers in a competitive sense. Plenty of people who make their money out of being tandem masters and taking people up for those one time only skydives. But Hayabusa, who are the best team in the world and have been for many years, even though I know they've had a change in their team recently, so there's other people nipping at their heels, they are a professional team who I believe work for the Belgian army, and that's how they're able to get paid for it. I don't think it's really through, you know, winning money in competitions. But it's a sport, and that's what people don't realise. They just think, oh, adrenaline junkies who just want to jump out of an airplane and feel the rush. But no, it's actually about getting better. And because that wears off, the excitement of that does wear off. And then, like I mentioned previously, the motivation for you to keep going back up and wanting to do it is to get better at it and be more in control in the air and do different disciplines. So you could start out being belly and then go into this free fly, which is a much more difficult, and it's like starting from scratch again. So you're never going to get bored either jumping out of an airplane or in a wind tunnel, because you can do the same kind of flying in each.
Now, for you, what did it do to you in your life? Did it any benefits, any value? Massive. It drove you somewhere.
Yeah, it drove me to poverty, first of all.
Well, not complete poverty,
no,
I assume.
No, well. yeah, listen, you have to be prepared to spend money on it. But, like, it's plenty of people, as you know yourself, Mikhail, who skydive, and they're not in big fancy jobs or earning lots of money. It's just their passion. So they will save money in other places to spend on this. It's absolutely been a source of joy for me over the last 20 years, between just that enjoying the sensation of jumping out the door of that airplane for the first time, or jumping into the wind tunnel for the first time. There's a certain aliveness about it, from, like I mentioned previously, the camaraderie, the people that you meet, the friends that you make along the way. The beauty of it being quite a small community, you know, so whether in Ireland, we all know each other because there is only one club and everybody goes to that same club. Or even internationally, I did a lot of travel with a previous job, and in that job, I was then able to go to different drop zones around Europe. And as soon as you get there, you're part of that community. Because it's such a small one, we all feel kind of, you know, immediately connected, I think. I've gotten me some of the best friendships that I have now in my life, through especially the four-way female team that we still have. We're just on a little bit of a hiatus because some of us are having babies. Some of the best holidays that I've ever had have been skydiving ones, going to the beauty of the Algarve and the sun in the middle of December, being able to enjoy jumping out of airplanes in December and having the sun and being part of a boogie, which is, as you'll know, a kind of skydiving event where all us fun jumpers come together and, you know, get into our different disciplines and jump out of airplanes with like-minded people who just, you know, want to have a good time. So, I've zero regrets, even though I'm now, you know, a little bit behind in, like, things like buying a house and all those adult things that you have to eventually get around to. I don't regret a minute of it because I enjoyed myself. And if I die tomorrow, I can say that I will die happy with very, very few regrets.
Because I think that's a common theme for skydivers and some other activities and sports. We did something so unusual that it stays with us in our memories. And absolutely, we always relate to that, go back to that, remember that, and then repeat it and do it. And we do it with our friends.
Yeah.
And this is the beauty of this sport.
100%. When you get down from, like, a, you know, formation skydive, whether it's just with your four-way team or a bigger formation, you've done much bigger ones than me, the buzz of having gotten it right and gotten it right together, where you've kind of created this harmony with a big group of people where you've come in sync and you've all followed your little part to play, and you know, then you can do the egotistical thing of watching it back on video. And but it is, it's the community of it. It's like life for anybody, you know. It's the relationships you have and the people you meet along the way that actually matter, and that make it a joyous thing. So you've plenty of that in skydiving.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
This was episode 2 of the High Altitude Adventures podcast, season 2. The topic today was indoor skydiving wind tunnels for professionals or for first timers. You can find a wind tunnel nearest to you and try it for yourself, how a real skydiving free fall looks like. If you want to know more about this or any other adventure, you can go to our website, www.idare.space. Thank you for your time today. I hope you will join us again in 2 weeks. Goodbye.